That was not my back. That was the music stand. So, Mother's Day. Get ready, moms. This sermon is just for you. No, actually, I don't do that. Don't single out people. But being Mother's Day, it is actually a sermon that parts of it will apply to all of you. So, I hope you're listening. If you would like to be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the entire chapter is great. In fact, chapter 5 and chapter 6 go together. Get a chance this week, read both of them. But we're going to focus on verses 4 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 12. So today I'm going to talk about the importance of two families. But before we do, I'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to glean three principles from this chapter, and then we will apply them to these two different families. Now, the entire Bible is important, but there are some passages that are so foundational to understanding and living the rest of the Bible, and some passages that provide a basis for living a life that is pleasing to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is one of those passages. Now, there are several principles to be followed in these verses, but again, I'm going to focus on three. Many of us are familiar with Exodus chapter 20, where God gives Moses the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. If you haven't read the book, maybe you've seen the movie. That was near the beginning of the 40 years of wandering in the desert. The people of Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, those 40 years have passed, and the people of Israel are about to go into the Promised Land. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses repeats those Ten Commandments. But today we're in chapter 6, and I want to read verses 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. The principle here in these verses is to love the one true God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Commit your heart to God. This principle is so important that Jesus repeats it in the Gospels and calls it the most important commandment in all of God's revelation to us. It's always been about your heart. Make sure that your heart is toward God, that you love Him and seek Him with all of your being. By the way, that's what the heart, as it's used in the Bible when it speaks of your heart, it means all of you, your mind, soul, body, strength, everything. Make sure that your heart is toward God, that you love Him and seek Him with all of your being. Make sure that you are pursuing Him before anything else. Because just obedience alone will not lead to salvation. You cannot do enough good things to secure forgiveness for your sins. But once you have found forgiveness in Christ, after you have committed your life to Him, then the expected response to Him is to follow Him with all of your heart. Obedience without love toward God is a works-based approach that does not lead to salvation. The second principle is in verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So the second principle is to teach the following generations about God. And we do this as we live life together. This is what it means when it says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. We'll talk more about this in a minute. The third principle is found in verses 8 through 12. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So the third principle is don't forget God. Don't quit. Don't forget Him. Don't quit following Him. Don't forget that He is the most important person in your life. And not just a person, but He is your God, the one true God. And that you have pledged your heart, your life, your allegiance to Him. This is another way of saying, don't quit. Never quit following Jesus. So now let's apply these three principles to the two families in your life. The first is your immediate family, your children, your parents, siblings. Okay, family. So let's read verses 4 through 6 again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Your commitment to Christ will impact everybody around you. And your lack of commitment to Christ will impact everyone around you. Everyone here influences other people in your life. You do. The reason for our scripture reading in Acts 16 a few minutes ago is because of the last phrase in that story. And the last phrase was, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Now, for those of you that speak Spanish and for those of you that are bilingual, you're saying, oh, that's not quite how the Spanish reads, right? The Spanish translates it a bit differently, like this. So this is the English translation of the Spanish translation of the original Greek. You following me? He rejoiced with his whole household that he had believed in God. But the verse is based on a participle in the original Greek. Listen close. So a very literal translation of the verse is, this is very literal, he rejoiced because all of his family having come to believe. But we don't talk like that in English or Spanish, right? So when translators translate the Bible, they get the meaning correct, but sometimes they have to change word orders to make a point or to get the thought across. So in that verse, the verb rejoice is singular. He rejoiced. But the participle, believed, is plural. It refers to his entire household. When the jailer came to faith, his family came to faith also. So either translation is valid and an accurate way of conveying the meaning. But it doesn't always happen this way. But generally speaking, when parents are faithfully following Christ and faithfully teaching their children about Christ, your children will follow you too, generally speaking. When your immediate family sees how faithful you are, when they see that you are truly committed to following Christ, it will impact them. And it will help them to follow Christ too. As you follow Jesus faithfully, spiritually speaking, you pull up the people around you. I'm going to read that again. As you follow Jesus faithfully, spiritually speaking, you pull up the people around you. And if you are not following Christ faithfully, then spiritually speaking, you're pulling them down. Let's read verse 7. Impress them on your children. Oh, by the way, let me just comment about that first point. Commit your heart to God because it'll make a difference in the people around you and your family. Okay? Now, they still have a choice to make. But at least you have set the example and made a path for them. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So the second principle is to teach following generations in your family about God. Now, there are many things that parents want to provide for their children. Safety, shelter, my favorite, food, a good home, good education. These are all good things. But as good as those things are, they are not the most important thing. From a Christian perspective, the family has a primary task to accomplish in each generation, and that is to turn their hearts toward God. during the routines of your life, as we live our lives together, take advantage of every opportunity, every moment possible, to tell the next generation about God and His Word in the daily conduct of your life, on the way to school, eating together, doing yard work, running errands. When my kids were still at home and we would be driving somewhere, if we saw a billboard that was advertising something that would displease God, I would often point it out and explain why it was displeasing to God. I looked for opportunities in our daily life as a family to point the heart of our children toward God. And even though my children are grown, I still look for opportunities to speak truth into their life. And now that I'm a grandpa, 8 times, I look for opportunities to speak the truth into their lives. Now, there is this philosophy of parenting that says, I will not teach my children about God when they're young, because I want them to grow up first and then make up their mind. If you hold that philosophy, do you know what you're doing? Sorry, Elsa, off my notes here. You're teaching them a different belief system. You're teaching them something. No matter what you do as a parent, you're teaching them something. The question is, what are you going to teach them? So by default, you're teaching them that if there is a God, He's not that important. Right? I mean, if you're going to be consistent. Parents, if you say that you will not teach your children about God and let them decide when they grow up, then you're teaching them to ignore God. Most of what your kids have learned in the early years of their life, they've learned from you. Yes, even after they start going to school. And that changes some, more so the older they get. But parents, you are still the primary influencer in your kids' lives. To this day. And those that are here this morning will smile when I do this, but to this day, all four of my kids, if they're around me and they hear me go, psst, psst, I got an idea. Okay? They learn. They pick it up from you. So if you're not teaching them actively about God, at best, top of page 13, Elsa, at best, you're teaching them that life with God is a choice. It's not an obligation. Just an option. That belief and commitment to the one true God is optional. But that is not what Deuteronomy 6 teaches. Deuteronomy 6 commands us to teach them about God at every opportunity, all day, every day. So, teach your kids, your grandkids, if you live old enough, your great-grandkids, teach them about God. And in verses 8 through 12, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. When the Lord God, your God, brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Don't forget our Lord who brought us out of the land of slavery of sin. Don't quit following Jesus. If Dad quits following Jesus, I make it more likely that my kids would quit following Jesus. And I don't want to do that. So don't quit following Jesus. It'll impact your family. That's your first family. For the purposes of today, since you're all here, even if you're fairly new here, your second family is your spiritual family. Your local church. Your local group of believers that you hang with. And I got ahead of myself because Dustin's prayer worked. I am following my notes. The problem is I put a sentence in my notes in the wrong place. So before we're done here, pray for my sermon next time, okay? So back to my kids. Don't quit because I don't want to encourage them to quit. I love 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. I love this verse. My oldest daughter is a worship leader in a church in Ohio, and I love it when she calls me and asks spiritual questions or tells me how God is working in her life or in her church. And I love that with all of my kids. Recently, though, one of my grown grandsons called and asked me how he can share his faith with some coworkers who are antagonistic toward God. That really gets a grandpa's heart going. I got all misty and emotional. It was great. We talked for over an hour. And I'm so proud of that young man. Not many things bring me greater joy than to know that my children and my grandchildren are walking in truth. Where do you want to see your kids in 10 years? 20 years? When they're 60? I don't know about you, but I want to see my kids following Jesus. And what and how we speak into their lives now has a huge impact on where they are going for the rest of their lives. Okay, now I want to apply these three principles to your second family, your spiritual family, your local church. So let's read verses 4-6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Did you know that your faith affects me? When you are faithfully following Christ, it helps me to faithfully follow Christ. I know you might think, yeah, but you're the pastor. You influence everybody. No, I'm telling you. I just get to be up here a little more often, but we're all in this together. And your faith, when you are faithful, when I see you overcoming struggles and trials in your life, when I see you living faithfully in hard times, it helps me live faithfully in hard times. It does. Top of page 17, Elsa. Proverbs tells us, that it is better for two to walk together than for one to walk alone. And that it is good to have many people speaking truth into your life. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that keeping company, close company, to the point you let it influence you, keeping company with people far from God will be a negative influence in your life. Which means that keeping company with people close to God will be a positive influence in your life. Be a positive influence on those around you. Put God first in your heart. Commit your heart to God for the benefit of others in your local church. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Now you might say, especially if you have grown children and they don't live around here, or other circumstances, you might say, my children are not here. Now I'm talking about spiritual family. We are all to disciple each other in a local church. You cannot teach the next generation about God if you're not around them. This is one of many reasons you're supposed to be part of a local church. I encourage you older Christians to spend time with young people. Now you might say, but I don't know them. After service today, and I mean this, after worship today, walk over to some young people and get to know them. This is not rocket science. You walk over and say to Olivia, Kaylee, kids in junior church when they come out, I'm looking around. We're missing a few today. Sochi, I still consider you young, even though you're an adult. And I consider you an adult, even though you're young. Does that make sense? You walk over and say, hi, my name's David. What's your name? They'll tell you. And you can ask how long you've been coming to church here. You can tell them how long you've been coming. Tell them what you do for a living. Hopefully, as you get to know them, you will tell them, always follow Jesus. In a few weeks, I'm going to get to visit some of my grandkids, my daughter and her husband too, but some of my grandkids in Ohio. And I guarantee you, when we leave to come home, as I hug each one of them, the very last thing I will tell them, as I hug them and my voice is close to their ear, always follow Jesus. And I do it when they're young, too. You may not hear me or see me. Becky, my oldest daughter, caught me once. And she said where the other kids could hear. That's why I'm glad when Grandpa's around. This is Mother's Day. It's supposed to be about moms, but this dad and this grandpa is really blessed, let me tell you. Okay, top of page 19, Elsa. The Apostle John lived longer than any of the other apostles, as far as we know. And toward the end of his life, he wrote a short letter to a fellow Christian named Gaius. John probably had a part in leading Gaius to faith, because he refers to Gaius as one of his children. And by that, he means one of his spiritual children. To be honest, that is the same sentiment that I have toward many of you. Some of you have come to faith in this church. Some of you in my office or in this auditorium. And we have been discipling and teaching you since then. And 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Always follow Jesus. Once in a while, someone from years ago will call, text, or email me. And they'll tell me they're still following Jesus. And that blesses me in ways that I cannot put into words. So here's a question that you absolutely did not expect to hear today. Have any of you heard of Svengoolie? Come on, Chicagoans. How many of you have heard of Svengoolie? This is Svengoolie. Sorry for the millions watching on YouTube. We can't get a close-up here. But Svengoolie is a local guy on local TV here in Chicago. He shows old horror movies, you know, scare movies, ooh, ghosts and all that stuff. And he makes fun of the movies. In the 1990s, a boy attended our church who watched Svengoolie. And I joked with him about it a lot. A couple of years ago, he called me. And he thanked me for the spiritual influence that I was in his life. Now, I'm just telling you this. I'm no better than you guys. I'm just telling you this as an example, okay? And I really mean that. But he told me and thanked me for being a great spiritual influence in his life. And he told me to watch for a package from him. I had no idea what it was. He didn't tell me. And when I opened it, it was this water bottle with Svengoolie on it. This means a lot to me. I have a medal in my office. Some of you know I have ran the Chicago Marathon 4 times. Extremely slow, let me add. And I've got 5 medals hanging in my office. Because someone who grew up in this church ran the Chicago Marathon as an adult and brought me that medal to say thanks for being a spiritual influence in my life. You get to be a part of that. You follow Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You follow Deuteronomy 6. You commit your heart to Christ. And you will be surprised the people that you will impact. Follow him faithfully. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. Use every opportunity. Just follow these 3 principles in every relationship in your life. Commit your heart to God, because it will impact those around you. And it will make it easier for them to follow God if you're following God. Teach the following generations about God, whether it's your physical family or your spiritual family. And whatever you do, and whatever anybody else does, don't you ever quit. Quitting is not an option for a follower of Christ. Don't you ever quit. Let him be magnified in your life. That song goes so well with this sermon. Let's pray. Father, we do pray, as Dustin prayed earlier, be magnified in our lives. Help us to commit, to recommit, and recommit our lives to you, to grow closer and closer to you, to walk faithfully more and more with you. Help us to teach others, all generations, everybody around us, but especially children and grandchildren. Oh God, they need such a spiritual influence in their life to stay faithful to Jesus. And above all, Lord, help us to never, never quit following you. Because when you went to the cross for us, you didn't quit. You saw it through to the end. Not only did you say, "It is finished," paying for our sins, it is finished, but you rose the third day to prove it. Be magnified in our lives, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.